Tonight's shiur is on Eicha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, and the title of the shiur tonight is Weeping at Night. So tonight we're going to look at Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, the second Pasuk in Eicha, and we're going to try to understand it on a deeper level and use it to gain insight into the Churban and Tisha B'Av. So we'll just start with the basic Pasuk. Look in source number one. So it's Eicha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Beis, as mentioned before. And it starts, Bachosiv ke balayla v'demasa alecheya, ein la menachem yiko o'avel, koreha bagduva hayu la lo'ovim. So the Pasuk says that she weeps in the night, and the tears are on her cheek. There's nobody to comfort her from all of her friends and all the people who love her. All of her friends have betrayed her, and they became her enemies. So the Pasuk is referring to Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk, if you look at Rashi, let's just look at Rashi who explains the Pasuk in source number 2. Rashi says, Bachosiv ke, she weeps in the night. Why does it say it twice? Why is it double lashon? Bachosiv ke, shtei bechios al shtei churbanin. So there are two, it's referring to two different types of cries, or two cries on the two churbans, on the two destructions of the Bate Mikdash that we had. So the first idea Rashi's mentioning, which we'll see in the Gemara, is that it's not just one cry, we're not just crying over Beis HaMikdash Rishon, but we're crying, or the Pasuk's referring to crying over the two Beis HaMikdash that were destroyed. And it's somewhat of a chiddush just historically, because Yirmiyahu was writing this referring to the destruction of the first temple, but there's in the Nevuah of Eicha, it's also referring to the second temple, the second Beis HaMikdash. And if you look in the next Rashi, he says, Balayla, Shehamikdash Nisraf Balayla, Da'amar Mar Le'es Arev Hatzisu Bo'as Ha'or. So the reason why the Pasuk says that we cry at night, or she weeps at night, it's because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed or was lit on fire at night. Dover Acher, so another possibility is, Belaila, Laila shall bechias meraglim betisha b'av garmalahem. So this is key. Barashi quotes a famous Gemara, and he says that what is the Pasuk referencing the nighttime crying at night for? It's referring to the cry of the Meraglim and the Jewish people by the story of the spies. They cried at night, and that was Tisha B'Av, and that caused this to happen. So that's the second Pshat in Rashi. Dover Acher Belayla Shkol Bocha Belayla Shomer Kol Bocha Ima. And the third Pshat is why does the Eicha mention Laila? Because anybody who cries at night, anybody who hears the cry, will cry with them. So that's what Rashi explains for Bachosiv Ke is referring to the two Churbans, and then Balayla is referring to these three potential ideas. Either it's referring to the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed at night, or it's referring to the Bechia, the cry of the Jews by the Meraglim. And the last possibility is this third possibility, that anybody who hears a cry at night, they cry with them. So we have to explain each possibility. We're going to explain what Rashi means, and is there a connection, furthermore, between the idea of Bachosiv Ke and Balayla, the idea of the two Churbans, and also the concept of it being at night, other than the possibility that they were destroyed at night. So we're going to take that up. And V'dimasa lecheya mitoch shehi bocha tamid. So the reason why the tears are on the cheek, it's a reference to a continuous cry. Koreha ohaveh, and all the those who love Klal Yisrael, Bagduba, they betrayed her, and they became oivim, they became enemies. Okay, so Rashi is quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but he mentioned some critical ideas in explaining the Pasuk, that the Bachosiv Ke is not just referring to one Churban, but both, and also all the different concepts by Laila about nighttime. So we're going to try to explain what the significance of those concepts are and what their connection is. But I feel like we should look at the Gemara first, because the Gemara puts them together differently than Rashi. And then we'll look at some of Farshim and try to analyze it. So if you look in the Gemara, the source of Rashi is the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. It's source number 3. And it says, Bachosiv Ke Belayla, Shtei Bechios Halalu Lama. Same question that Rashi has, which is, why does it say Bacho and Sivke, two types of cries or two cries? Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Echad Al Mikdash Rishon, Ve'echad Al Mikdash Sheni. Same answer, that one is on the first Mikdash and the second one's referring to the second Mikdash. Balayla, so what does it mean at nighttime? Al iske laila. It means the matters of the night. Shenamar, vatisa kol aida, vayitznu es kolom, vayivkua am balaylahu. It says that the Jews cried. They lifted up their voices by the Meraglim, and they cried on that night. Amar Rabba, Amar of Yochanan, oso alayla leil tisha b'av haya. So the night of the Meraglim even though the Torah doesn't mention it openly, was Tisha B'Av. Amar lahen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leisrael, Atem b'chisam b'chia shel chinam, v'ani ekba lachem b'chil adoros. So you have cried a cry of nothingness, of an unwarranted cry. Chinam is nothing. And I'm going to establish a cry ledoros. Okay, so the Gemara, which Rashi quotes, is pretty open, and it says these two ideas. The first idea is the same as similar, which is that it's referring to both Bate Mikdash, and the second idea is referring to the Meraglim. So the question, again, is there a connection between these two ideas? And we'll see from the Mefarshim that they learn that the two ideas are connected to one another and to teach us a Chiddush. But furthermore, what is the relationship between the Bechia of the Jews by the Meraglim, the cry in the desert when the Jews decided that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, they were scared, and the cry of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? What's the relationship between the two? One event happened well before the others, and it sounds kind of arbitrary that Hashem is punishing them later on, many, many generations later, by establishing a Bechia Ledoros because of the fact that they cried by the Meraglim. So how is that just? How is that fair that the Jews are punished many years later for what happened earlier on? So those are the questions of the Shir tonight, one of the main questions. And also it's a main theme of Tisha B'Av, the relationship between the Jews chait by the Meraglim and what happened. So we have to try to understand and analyze, you know, what exactly, can we pinpoint exactly what this Gemara means, that because the Jews cried a Bechia Shel Chinam, that's why there is a Kvias, there is an establishment of a Bechia Ledoros. So we're going to try to explain that relationship. So before we explain it, we'll look at some Mefarshim on this, and then we'll get to deeper insight, I believe. So if you look at the Marsha in source number 4, the Marsha in our Gemara tries to tie in the two Memras together. And they're not two separate Memras, but he says they're connected. So it says, Bechosef Kebalaila, he says, V'chule al mikveal mikdasheni. He says, Yirmiyah shahaya b'mikdash rishon, Yirmiyah, who's in Mikdash Rishon, Remez Khan Vishteya Bechios, Gama Mikdasheni, Shahaya Bo Biyom, Shenechorav Mikdash Rishon. So Yirmiyahu is referencing even though he wasn't at the time of the Mikdasheni, only Mikdash Rishon, his Nevuah is referencing Mikdasheni as well, which is on the same time, Tisha B'Av. Ulefish Lohaya Iker Achurban Belaila, even though the Iker, the essential aspects of the destruction were not at night, Darash lechach nichtav laila. There's a drasha. That's why it was written laila. Lirmoz al maisa meraglim, to teach us about the story of the meraglim. Shehaya ikar belaila hi shema oso maisa nigzru beis achorbanos. So the Marsha says that the story of the meraglim caused the decree of the destruction of both Bate Mikdash. Dahainu bechia ledoros. This is the bechia ledoros. Vehu mida kenegan mida. This was God repaying the Jews. Mida kenegan mida. Shehem masu ba'aretz. They were disgusted by the land. Lechach kishachatu galu mimenu mimena. When they were chotim, so they were exiled from the land. So the Marsha connects the two memras, and he says that really, even though Yirmiyahu was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash Rishon, he's referencing Beis Hamikdash Sheni because both Chorbanos were caused by a similar type of cause, and the cause was the Bechia by the Meraglim. So again, the question, so he's teaching us that the memra, that the shtey, about the two Bate Mikdash, is that there's a common theme behind the destruction of both. And the common theme is tied back to the Meraglim, the Bechi of the Meraglim. So of course, again, it's the same question. So at least the Marsha kind of says openly that the Meraglim is what caused the destruction of both Bate Mikdash. But what is that relationship? Because it happened so many years before the destruction of the Mikdash. So how can we blame the Jews in the time of the Midbar by the Meraglim for what happened? How is it fair? How is it Mida Kenegan Mida? And furthermore, the end of the Marsha is strange also. He says that they were disgusted, Masubars, or they, I guess, defamed the land, and therefore they were Golem Imena. So it's one thing to exile them, but the destruction of the Mikdash was a separate idea. So why is the Marsha equating the two? So again, we have to answer, the basic question hasn't been answered, but at least we see from the Marsha that there's more of a comparison and a connection between the two Memras, and he's saying that the two Memras, the idea of the first and the second Mikdash being destroyed, were connected, and they were both connected to the Meraglim, the story of the Meraglim, the spies. How when the spies came back and they said bad things about the land and how the Jews weren't going to be able to conquer it, and everybody cried that night, that was the source of the Gzeira, of the decree of Hashem to destroy the Mikdash. So you have to understand it So what is that connection? Same question as before. So let's go on a little bit. We're just going to keep reading a little bit more, get some more facts. And like I said, we're going to come to a deeper analysis, hopefully. Can everybody hear me on the phone line, by the way? If anybody is having trouble, just speak up. They hear a little bit of static in the background. All right, great. Okay, source number three. So source number three is one of the Mefarshim on Tinus, which has the same idea about the Bechiya Shel Chinam. And the Daf Al Daf is one of the, he's an explanation of the Gemara, and he brings in different Rishonim and Achronim. So he brings in the Griz, so the Brisker Rav. And in source number five, he quotes the Brisker Rav. V'chiyotze bo shamati b'shem ha-Griz, me-Brisk, Zal, she-estapek, ha-im kavanas ha-Gemara b'tainis kan lomar, de-ha-tarech tishabav nikba b'glal she-az bachu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. Is it that the Gemara and the idea of the connection between the Meraglim is simply that the same date of Tisha B'Av was used because of the fact that the Jews cried in the desert, and that's why Hashem could have used any date, but he uses the date of Tisha B'Av to connect it to the Meraglim? Or is it that the Bechiya was the creation or established the destruction of the Mikdash, that it's more causally related? Upshara pipsuke tehilem haniskar le'el. So the Daf Al Daf says that the Pshat, based on the Griz says this, that the Psukim quoted by the Ramban, by Tehillim, Shemuchach, She'etzam Achorban, Nigram, Ketotzah, Me'abachia Azu, that the essential destruction of the Mikdash was caused, based on Tehillim, was caused because of the Bechia of the Jews in the desert by the Meraglim. Uvir Bezeh, Gama Namar B'Yechezkel, Gama Nasasius Yadi Lahem B'Midbar, Lahafitz Osam B'Goyim. So the Pasuk in Yechezkel says that Hashem was going to scatter them amongst the Gayim. Uvarashi perished to Kayal Parshas Kisolid Banim. So Rashi wants to say that it's not referring to the Bechiah of the Meraglim, it's referring to the Tochcha. Ach Tarach Ian, Da Lashon Nasasius Yadi, Lashon Shvua Loksiv Sham, doesn't say Nasasius Yadi by Kisolid Banim. Ella de Parshas Meraglim Ksiv. You see that the same Lashon is used by Meraglim. But Ulam Chai Ani, Uvarashi Lashon Shvua, Umuchach, the Gamma Psukim Bechetzko, Kayal Meraglim, Bechorban Besam Mikdash, Ad Kan Daito. So the Griz, the Brisker Rav, wants to say, similar to the Marsha, that he brings up this Chakira, these two possibilities. Either you want to say that it's arbitrary, that they're not really related conceptually, but the date was chosen by Hashem to create a relationship, or that the Meraglim and the fact that the Jews cried in the time of the Meraglim actually caused the destruction. And the Brisker Rav wants to say that based on the Psukim and Tehillim and the Ramban, that there is a causal relationship. So now we see clearly from different Mefarshim that there's a causal relationship between the Bechia of the Jews by the Meraglim and the destruction of the Mikdash. So again, what is that cause? What is that relationship? And the last question that we're going to raise before we answer the question is in source number 6. So it's the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tesam and Beis. So the Gemara explains what the source for the destruction of the Mikdash were by Beis HaMikdash Rishon and Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And the Gemara says, let's read through it, but it says, Mikdash Rishon, Mipnei Macharav. So the Gemara says, why was the first Mikdash destroyed? Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shayubo, Avodah Zarah, V'Gilei Raios, Shvichas Damim. So the reason why the first Mikdash was destroyed was for three reasons. Avodah Zarah, the Jews were worshipping idols. Gilei Raios, they were promiscuous. And murder, Shvichas Damim. So it's funny. Our Gemara and Tainis say that the source of the destruction of both Batei Mikdash was the Bechiah of the Meraglim, or the Bechiah of the Jews in the time of the Meraglim. But the Gemara over here in Yuma says openly that the reason for the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed had nothing to do with the Meraglim. It had to do with Gila Raios, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichas Damim. So which one is it? Is it these factors, or is it the Bechiah of the Meraglim? It seems like a direct contradiction. And the Gemara goes on, it gives sources for each idea. Avodah Zarah, Dechsiv, Ki Katzar Matzah Mehistareya. The bed is too short to be stretched out. My Katzar HaMatzah Mehistareya. Amar Rav Yochanan, Katzar Matzah Zeh Mehistareya. Alav Shnei Reyim. That the bed is too short, it's a reference to the idea of Mehistareya is a combination of Reyim and Mehistareya. And it means to Mistarer means to be a leader over us, Shnei Reyim, two different beings, meaning an idol. It's a reference to the fact that an idol was placed in the Mikdash in the time of Menashe, and also how could we worship the idol and Hashem at the same time, Ke'echad. V'hamaseichad tzara kiskanes, it's the end of the Pasuk, it says, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Ki Mati Rav Yonason, Lahai Kra, Bachi, When Rav Yonasan would read this pasuk, he would cry, "Amar mandich sivbe kanes kanein me'ayom." When the pasuk refers to Hashem being able to heap up water of the sea, nasis lo masecha tzara. Now an idol becomes its Hashem's rival. So the first idea in the Gemara is that avodah zarah was the essential chait, and the fact that an idol was placed in the Beis Hamikdash by Menashe is really one of the reasons for the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. Gilui Arayos, Tichsev, Ayomar Hashem Yan, Ki Gavu Benos Tzion, Vatelachno, Ntuyos Garon, Umeshakros Einayim, Haloch, Vetifov, Telachno, Vraglen, Teachsana. So there's another pasuk that refers to how the women were walking around, and they were walking around at the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, where they were trying to draw attention to themselves. And the Gemara explains, Ki Yan, Ki Gavu Benos Tzion, Shayu Mahalchos, Aruchos, Betzad Ktsara. They would have a tall woman walk next to a short woman, I guess to draw more attention to them. The women would walk, they would walk stretched out with a nice posture. So apparently that was the women at that time, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, were trying to draw attention, and they were walking around with a good posture, upright. They would put on mascara. And they would put on this blue mascara. So they would Amar of Yitzchak Shayu Mevius more of Afar Simon Amenichos Bimenalan. This is a good trick. So they would put perfume in their shoes. Ushmagios Eitzel Bachur Yisrael. When the women at the time of the Beis Hamikdash would walk by these young guys, Boatos Umetizos Alehen Umachnison Bahen Yitzhara Keres Bichos. So what they would do was that they would kind of put their feet together and clap their feet together, and it would release this perfume, and it would cause the young men to have this yetzer hara, this tremendous drive. So the women at the time of the first Beis Hamikdash were responsible for trying to cause the men, the yetzer haras, to take over them. So that's one of the criticisms by the Navi, and that's one of the reasons why the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So first reason is avodah zarah. The second is gilui arayos, that the women would seduce the men. And the third is that murder was rampant, and Menashe at the time, who was the king, where there was a lot of death and murder at the time, and it was the people related to murder as if it was nothing at that time. And this is a famous idea too. The second Beis Hamikdash, why was it destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam, because of unfettered, unwarranted hatred. So the Gemara in Yuma, so we're not going to go into the reasons over here today, but the Gemara in Yuma, it's part of the question. The Gemara in Yuma says that the Beis Hamikdash HaRishon was destroyed because of the three sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. But our Gemara and the Marsha and the Brisker Rav, they all maintain that the reason for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was the Bechi of the Meraglim and the Jewish people in the time of the Meraglim. So which one was it? What was the cause? Was the cause the fact that the Jews cried in the time of the Meraglim, or was the fact that the Jews were involved in Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, Gilui Arayos, Sinas Chinam? So which one is the cause? So that really is the question that we have to answer. So we have, again, so all the questions up to this point, just to summarize, are really that the Gemara seems to say that both Bate Mikdash are equated because we're Bachosif Keh, we're crying about both because they're both tied to the idea of the Meraglim, that the Jews cried in the time of the Meraglim. So we have to understand what the relationship is between the hate of the Jews in the time of the Meraglim and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and how are they causally related, according to the Marsha and the Brisker Rav. And furthermore, we see that the actual reasons for the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second were very different from one another, and the Gemara equates the two, and the Gemara in Yuma doesn't talk about the Bechi of the Meraglim. So how do we answer all these questions? So that is the question tonight. That's the main question of this year. So the answer, so what is the answer? So I saw an interesting medrash quoted by the Torah Tmima, and I think it will give us a little bit of insight into how to answer this question. So the Torah Tmima says, "Bachosiv kebalayla, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Ilu zuchisem hayisem korim betorah leil shimurim hulad Hashem." So if you were zocha, if you merited, then you would have read the pasuk in the Torah referring to the time when the Jews left Egypt, and it says leil shimurim. It was a night of guarding. That Hashem guarded the Jews when they left Egypt. V'akshav shlozachisem, hareatem korim bachosav ke'abalaila. But now, because you were in Zocha, because of what happened by the Meraglim, although the Medrash doesn't say it openly, so instead we cry at night. Bachosav ke'abalaila. So what is this connection between the potential for the Jews to read Leil Shimurim, which I don't even know what it means. What does that mean? They would have read Leil Shimurim, but instead they're reading Bachosav ke'abalaila. So what is the connection between the two? And how does this relate to our question? So let's just try to answer. So the question, the way that I was trying to think about this in order to answer it was to try to take up what a Bechiyah Shel Chinam is. What exactly does it mean when the Gemara says, Atem Bechisem Bechiyah Shel Chinam, Vani Ekva Lachem Bechiyah Ledoros. What is a Bechiyah Shel Chinam? So what does that mean? So I think that there's a depth to the concept of Bechiyah Shel Chinam. What it means is that sometimes a person can cry and there's a reality, there's a basis in reality and evidence for the person crying. If a person, let's say, there's plenty of examples, the death of a relative would be a reason to cry, a real reason to cry, because you're missing the person that died. Even if you lose a job, let's say, so that would be another valid reason to cry. And that's not a Bechiyah Shel Chinam, but a Bechiyah Shel Chinam is a Bechiyah based on a person's anxieties and insecurities. So many people, I think it's normal for most people, for many people, they become overwhelmed at times, and a lot of times being overwhelmed isn't based on any facts or evidence in reality, it's just based on man's fears and anxieties. And a person could get all worked up over a fear of something happening, when in reality there's no evidence to support that fear, and their mind is just playing games on them, and creating this illusion of failure, or this illusion of pain. And that causes a person to cry. And that happens all the time to a lot of people. So I think that a Bechiyah Shel Chinam is a reference to that concept. It's the idea that at the time of the Meraglim, the Jews really didn't have any evidence to support the concept that they should cry. The cry that they had was based on the persuasion of the Meraglim. And the persuasion of the Meraglim was simply working on the anxieties and the fears of the Jews at the time and their slave mentality at the time. So the whole entire cry and the whole idea of being terrified was really not based on reality. They didn't have any evidence. They just had the words of the Meraglim. But they really didn't have any evidence, any factual evidence, to support the level of the cry that they were having and the nature of the cry. So Bechiyah Shel Chinam is a cry that's produced essentially by man's fears and anxieties. There's nothing real. Chinam means it's unwarranted, it's free. There's nothing to the cry. There's no basis for the reason for the cry. And at the time of the Meraglim, the whole source of the Jews crying was simply their fear and anxiety. And I think that's the key idea. So the Gemara is saying that Atem Bechisem Bechiyah Shel Chinam Vani Ekva Lachem Bechiyah Ledoros. The Bechiyah Ledoros is not a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. Our Bechiyah on Tisha B'Av is based on a real destruction, a real loss. But the Bechiyah of the Jews in the time of the desert by the Meraglim was a Bechiyah Shel Chinam. It was a Bechiyah purely based on fears and anxieties. There was no reality. There was no real evidence that the Jews had that they should cry to that extent, to that level. So now with that idea, maybe we can explain the relationship between the Meraglim, the two destructions of the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole entire, try to give one answer. So maybe the idea is that the Gemara is saying that the Jews formulated their relationship to the land initially from this experience. And a lot of times what happens early on in a nation's, when a nation is born, it affects their relationship to, for example, by the Jews, the fact that at that time it was their initial reaction to the land, which is based on their fears and anxieties, that affected the Jews in the future and future generations' relationship to the land. And the Jews, they underestimated the power and the effect and the strength of this Bechiyah Shel Chinam, of this idea of crying based on nothingness in terms of how they would relate to the land in the future. So the idea is that it's not that the particulars of the Bechiyah of Meraglim caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was the fact that the Jews created this false idea and false relationship to the land, this relationship of anxiety and fear to the land, whereas it could have been one of security. They could have gotten a tremendous security from the land, but instead they allowed their anxieties and their fears to control them. So that also affected the Jews and later generations of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what allowed them, had they had a different relationship to the land initially, from the time of the Meraglim, in the time of the desert, had the Jews had a different relationship, had they looked forward to going into Eretz Yisrael, had they been able to place their security in the land, because that's what people do when they get a piece of land, you feel secure, this is mine, and it gives you a certain sense of strength. But the Jews had the opposite. It was a b'chiyah shel chinam. They related to the land initially from a fear and anxiety framework instead of a secure framework. And because their relationship to the land was really soured from the very beginning, it also affected how they lived in the land in the future. And even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they could never gain that sense of security, that proper sense of security from the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the insecurity and the fears and anxieties always plagued the psyche of the nation of the Jews. And that's what I think the Torah Tzmimah is referring to. It says, if you were Zocha, you would have said Leil Shimurim. But because you weren't Zocha, now you have Bachosev Ka, meaning that the Jews had an opportunity to feel a tremendous sense of security from their relationship to Eretz Yisrael and Hashem, of course. And they squandered that. And the Bechiyah of the Meraglim was really the way the Jews squandered that opportunity to feel a relationship of security and feel strength from the land. And instead, they were anxious and fearful. And that anxiety and fear damaged the whole future generations of Jews from relating to the land properly and from gaining from the land. And had they had a different relationship, perhaps all the other sins would have been different, or they wouldn't have been entrapped by all these other Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shfichas Dam, Sinas Chinam. All these things might have ended up differently, and that's what the Gemara is alluding to, had the Jews formed their relationship with the land properly from the very beginning. So I think that's the idea of the Gemara. The Gemara is connecting, and Rashi, they're connecting the Chet of the Meraglim and the Jews to the destruction of the Mikdash, that the Jews could have or had an opportunity to create a secure relationship to the land, but instead they allowed a b'chiyah shel chinam to take over. They allowed their anxieties and their fear to really conquer them. And because of that, it really scarred the nation in the future, and it affected our relationship to the land in the future and didn't allow the Jews to really use the land, utilize the land properly. And because of that, we fell and we became, we succumbed to all these temptations. And I think that's what the last Medrash is alluding to too, when it says, you would have been Zocha to Leil Shimurim. It means that the Jews would have had a tremendous sense of security, but they lost that opportunity because of the fact of the Bechiyah Shel Meraglim, the Bechiyah Shel Chinam. So I think that's the connection between the Meraglim and the destructions of the Beis HaMikdash. So even though the particulars might have been different, but the underlying environment for those sins to occur was the same. And it started from the Bechiyah Shel Chinam. Okay, so that's the idea. So let's go on. There's a couple interesting psychological points in the next part of the Gemara that we'll take up. So the Gemara says in source number 8, it keeps going, and Rashi quoted this as well. It's the next part of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. It says, Davar Acher Belaila Shekola Bocha Belaila Kolo Nishma. So number 1, anybody who cries at night, their cry is heard. Davar Acher Belaila Shekola Bocha Belaila Kochavim Umazolos Bochanimo. The second shot is that anybody who cries at night, the stars and the constellations cry with the person who's crying at night. And the last idea is that anyone who cries at night, if another person hears their cry, so they cry as well with them. So the Gemara explains, this is the next part of the Gemara, the Gemara explains different ideas for Lila, and it's trying to show you that there's a certain quality to a cry at night that doesn't exist during the daytime. And it highlights three different points. One is kolo nishma, that the sound is heard. The second is that the kochavim umazalos, the stars and the constellations cry with you, which is a strange concept. We have to explain that. What does that even mean? And the last point is that anybody who cries at night, so anybody who hears the cry will cry with them. And the Gemara is going to give a story to support that. So let's just go through each one, and we'll try to give insight into each point. So in source number 9, it says, Kolo nishma yoser mi bayom. Rashi quotes the Gemara, and it says that when a person cries at night, the cry is heard more so than in the day. Gedarmina ba'alma, b'pnei ma ein kol ha'kol nishma b'yom kibalayla. So there's a Gemara in Yuma that says, this is a strange Gemara, but it says, why is the person's voice heard more so at night than in the daytime? B'pnei galgal chama ha'menaser b'rakia. The sun that travels across the horizon scrapes across the heavens. It sound, makes a scraping sound. The call will be heard at night, and there will be mercy. But the end of the pasuk says, even at nighttime, when a cry should be heard, more so than in the daytime, nobody comforts. And the Yad Ramah, who is another Rishon, gives a more practical answer, I think, I like better. So in source number 10, he says, Davar Acher Belayla, Kadeshia Kola Nishma Yosir Mibayom. So that the voice is heard more. She'ena Kol Nishma Lemerachok. So you can't hear a voice or a sound as far in the daytime as at night. Vipnei Kol B'nei Adam Umalachdan She'nasis Biyom. Because people work during the daytime, and there's a lot of, there's environmental noise. So he quotes Rashi based on the Gemara, and he says you need to explain what Rashi means. But the Yad Ramah says something similar, but he gives a more pragmatic answer. And he says that during the daytime you hear the sounds of workers, and because of that there's distraction in the environment. So the first idea that the Gemara is saying is that the nighttime creates a crisper sound to the Lila, to the cry. And the cry is heard further, meaning that there's no distraction at nighttime. At nighttime is a time of silence. People go to sleep at night. I mean, not nowadays. If you go around nowadays, because of all the lights and stuff, it's loud. But in the old days, back in the time of the Gemara, it was quiet. It's still quieter at night than it is during the day, even Bizman Hazeh. And that quiet environment creates a stronger, more piercing sound, a sound that could be heard. So the first idea is that the nighttime is better for crying. It creates a better sound. Not that the sound is enhanced, but the quiet, silent nature of nighttime allows the sound to be heard. And anybody who wants comfort, if you cry at night, you have a higher chance. Your probability of somebody hearing you is higher because there's no environmental noise to block out the sound of the cry. So that's the first idea. The first idea is that the nighttime is there's an intensity to the cry itself because it could be heard further. So the second idea is that the Kochavim and Mazalos are bochim, with you at nighttime. So Rashi, look in source number 11, he says, Kochavim and Mazalos bochim, shenichmeru racham avalav. So the constellations, they have compassion upon a person, and the stars have compassion upon a person at nighttime, and they give mercy to a person. So what does that mean? What does it mean that a person, that the stars and the constellations cry at night? So I think that this is another point, a different idea about crying at night. So the second idea about crying at night is that at nighttime, the stars and the universe are more visible to man. You can't see it during the daytime because the sunlight blocks our ability to see the universe. But at nighttime, when you're outside, you can see the whole universe. You can see as far as you can. You can see the stars and galaxies. You can see planets. So you see all these things at nighttime. So I think that the idea is that when at nighttime, the cry becomes a more enhanced or a louder cry, a cry where the universe, almost a cry of the universe, a cry which you feel the weight of the universe is attached to. So the idea of crying at night versus the daytime is that in the daytime, your scope is limited to this world, to the earth, but at nighttime, you really get a visible sense of the universe. And when you cry at night, there's kind of a sense of the idea that the universe is tied to this cry, that this is not just an isolated cry, not a minimal cry, but it's a cry that affects the universe as a whole. And that happens at nighttime, because at nighttime, the whole world, all the stars and the constellations are visible at night. So you sense that, you feel that at night. So I think the Gemara is alluding, doesn't mean that the Mazalos and Kochavim cry with you, but it means that you can identify your cry with the whole universe, with the cry of the universe. It's almost enhancing, or I guess amplifying, the level of your sadness and the level of crying. So the second idea of Bachosif Kevalayla, the first idea is that your cry is heard and it's clearer and crisper because the environment is silent. And the second is that at nighttime is a time to feel the weight of a cry, that the weight of the universe is tied to this. It's not just you, but it's such a tremendous sadness that the whole universe is affected. And that's what it means, Kochavim Mazalos cry with you. Not that they literally cry with you, but you feel a sense of connection to the universe, that it's with you in this cry. So it enhances or amplifies the cry. And the last idea, which is it's a beautiful psychological point, which is that anybody who hears a cry at night cries with them. And if you look back in source number 12, about four lines down, there's a story that supports this. So it says, Maisa b'isha achas, this is the same Gemara, So there was a woman who was a neighbor of Rabban Gamliel, and her son died. And she would cry at night. Shama Rabban Gamliel kola ubacha kenegda. So when Rabban Gamliel would hear her, he would cry with her. Ad shenashru rise enav. His eyelashes fell off. He was crying so much. Lamachar hikirubo tamida vehotziuha mishchinusa. The next day, the Talmidim, they recognized the woman that was causing Rabban Gamliel to cry so much, and they removed her. I don't know how they removed her. Maybe they evicted her somehow from the neighborhood because they saw that he wasn't sleeping at night because he was crying too much. So the Gemara proves that anybody who hears a cry at night, even if they can't see, but they just hear a cry, it causes them to cry. And one of the Mefarshim, I didn't bring it down, says that he was crying about the Beis HaMikdash, not about her son. He didn't know who she was. So what is this concept, this last concept? The last concept is that at nighttime, there's an ability to identify with a cry, but not with the person who's crying. So a lot of times, when you have your own problems, but you see somebody else who's crying about their problems, the fact that they're crying about their problems affects the ability to integrate their cry and make it your own. But when you can't see the person, when it's dark at night and it's just a cry, it's almost like a blank slate. And a person can take that cry and they can make it their own cry and they can utilize it and really internalize it as their own. And the story of Rabban Gamliel is showing us that the nature of a cry at night is such that the cry itself can be isolated and it can be internalized by the person who hears it and made into their own cry. So when you hear somebody cry at night and you can't see them, I think that's the idea. You can't see the crier, but you hear them. So if you're thinking about something that's particularly emotional, it can really trigger a tremendously intense cry. As opposed to if you see the person. When you see the person, on the one hand, you can identify with them, but you can't really internalize it and make it your own. But at nighttime, you could take it and make it your own. And that's what happened with Rabban Gamliel. So our Gemara says that there are three ideas in B'chosev Ke B'layla. B'layla is a reference to the intensity of the cry at night. That we cry over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, or the two Beis HaMikdash, we should think about these ideas, about these types of cry. The cry, a cry that we want to be heard, and nobody hears us. A cry that is such that the weight of the universe is tied to it. And a cry which is one where anybody could internalize and make it their own, and really affect them emotionally and intensely. And the last idea I just want to share is source number 13. And the Medrash says, Davar acher b'layla, ki isha chashuva shehi misbayeshes levakos biyom uvuchem epnei ashkenem v'hi b'layla. The last idea about nighttime crying at night is this concept, that a woman who's respected and is embarrassed to cry in the daytime, she cries at night. So what does it show you? It shows you that at nighttime, all the social pressures are removed, and the social idea of vulnerability is removed, and a person can tap in to the real essential weakness that they feel when they're crying. So nighttime is a zman where a person can feel isolated, separated from the social pressures of looking a certain way and appearing a certain way, and nighttime is the zman where you can tap into that true emotional cry, the true cry of vulnerability. So the Gemara and the Medrash are highlighting all the different natures and intense. The nature of crying at night is completely different qualitatively than crying during the daytime. And this last point is showing us that in the daytime, the idea of daytime is that you have to appear a certain way to others. An Isha Chashuva, she has to appear a certain way. She can't let her guard down. But at nighttime, when nobody's around, you can really let your guard down and you can really tap into the cry in the fullest sense. All right? All right, so I think I want to end the share here, even though there's a couple more sources. Maybe we'll take it up in a different share. But basically, the Gemara, so I just want to end the share and just wanted to summarize the points. So our share is on the second pasuk in Parak Aleph and Eicha, and there are two points that we took up in the share. One is B'chosev Ke, and the second is B'layla. So we saw that the Gemara says B'chosev Ke is referring to both Beis HaMikdash, and so is Rashi. And the Gemara says also, Balila is a reference to the Bechia of Chinam at nighttime, which was on Tisha B'Av, by the Jews, by the Meraglim. So we want to understand the connection between the destruction of the both Beis HaMikdash and the cry of the Meraglim. And also, furthermore, we saw in the Gemaras that there are different reasons why the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. Both Beis HaMikdash were destroyed for different reasons. So what exactly is the connection between the cry by the Meraglim and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, like the Brisker Rav says, the Marsha. Yeah, so we explained that the idea is that by the Meraglim, that was the first encounter the Jews had with Eretz Yisrael, with the land of Israel. And you see that they had a Bechiya Shel Chinam, that they allowed their anxieties, their fears to conquer them. It wasn't based on any reality, any evidence, but their fears and anxieties were really the source of their crying. And that was their first encounter with Eretz Yisrael. And had they had a different encounter or a different relationship, one of a normal relationship with land, which is that the land gives you a certain security and sense of strength, so might have been different in the future. And had the Jews had the proper relationship with the land, perhaps they wouldn't have sinned in the way they did, and the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have been destroyed. So that is the nature of the causality between the two. Furthermore, we took up the Gemara on why the Pasuk refers to nighttime crying. And we said that when you cry at night, there's a different quality to crying. And there's different reasons why. One is because the cry is heard more. There's no distraction in the environment. And the second is that at nighttime, the whole universe, all the stars are visible. So you really feel like the weight of the universe is tied to your cry. It's not just an isolated cry. You feel the gravity of the cry. And then the last idea is that a cry at night, a person can identify with it and internalize it and make it their own. And the identification with the person is gone. It's just with the cry itself. And the cry can trigger, you know, a complete landslide of emotions. And the last point was this medrash in source number 13, which mentions that at nighttime, there's no idea of appearing a certain way. You don't have to worry about the social pressures of looking a certain way, but rather you can focus on your own weaknesses, your own vulnerabilities. And when we think about the destruction of the Mikdash, we're supposed to tap into the most authentic cry that we possibly can. It shouldn't be a fake cry, a cry of appearing a certain way, but we're supposed to tap into the most intense, qualitative, vulnerable cry that we can possibly attach ourselves to or feel and sense. So that's really what the Pasuk in Eicha is really teaching us about the destruction of the Mikdash and how we should respond. All right, so everybody, thanks for calling in. Have a good Shabbos. Thank you. Any questions?